Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All right, welcome to Sports Central here on October 17th, 2024. Hopefully everybody is enjoying this beautiful Thursday. Great weather out today. My name's Nathan. I'm joined with Corey Geiger, and we'll be talking sports today. We got predictions coming up later, and we're going to talk some college football open-ended questions. So if you want to give us a call, Corey's what is the number?
946-0435. Nathan's going to be in charge of the show today. Today is my birthday.
Happy birthday,
so
Corey.
So this is my birthday present myself. I'm going to come in here and just let Nathan do all the damn talking.
All right. He texted me at 3:20. I came up. I just come up with 15 college football
questions. You got this stuff.
Yeah, we got some open-end stuff. But hopefully
this is easy stuff.
It's easy stuff.
During football season,
it is.
Would you admit that during football season, coming in here and talking about stuff, because you started, this is October.
May.
When did you start? May?
Yeah.
Do you go really through that much of baseball season?
Yeah, went through the entire thing, and it was slower. But
did you ever find yourself, because Nathan's been coming in here pretty much for 2 days a week for 5 months now. Did you find yourself like, what the hell are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, I have.
I find myself doing that a lot of days during baseball season.
Yes, you got to pick up stuff that you normally wouldn't talk about and just kind of go down a rabbit hole and figure something out, typically.
Football season, though, man. There's so many cool football topics. You know, we keep it locally to Penn State and the Steelers and a lot of college football, but there's probably 10 different things we could talk about on any given day with football.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of an NFL and college football fan than rather just a Penn State and Steelers fan. Like, I enjoy the entire sport in a whole. So, like, tonight I'm going to be literally breaking down the Saints and who they play. I have it right here. Saints and Broncos.
Yeah.
That's what it is, which is going to be
Peyton's back, yeah.
Maybe the worst Thursday night football game in a long time. We've actually been spoiled the last few weeks, but this will be a reality check for us tonight. But
you know, were the Steelers on a Thursday night game last year? Was it Will Levis?
Yeah, Steelers and Patriots. Because the graphic had Bill Belichick.
Yes.
I remember that. The Patriots didn't have a relevant player to put on the graphics. So.
That's right. I found myself, because I had not watched much Thursday night football. A little bit of a backstory. I'm not a huge NFL fan. I will follow all of college football. I like the country, follow around the country, because covering Penn State for so long. But because I would always be gone 10, 12 hours on a Saturday or traveling all over the country on a Saturday, I zoned out. I've zoned out for the last 20 years on Sunday. I watch the Steelers. I love watching the Patriots, too, because of Brady. But I've not been a huge NFL fan, and so I don't really watch Thursday night football. But on occasion, I had to watch Thursday night last year, and I was floored, Nathan. I was absolutely stunned by how terrible Al Michaels was. I mean,
I don't want Al Michaels. I love Al Michaels.
I'm talking one of the worst play-by-play. It was a Steelers game. He had no idea any history of Joey Porter Jr. Or he was mispronouncing names all over the place.
Yes.
I can't believe, I mean, one of the handful of most iconic announcers in our sports history. I remember watching that game and thinking, like, wow, how he's let himself slip.
Yes. So I'm assuming you're a guy who loves, like, Tony Romo, if I had to take a guess, just off that.
I did those first couple years when it was
That's how it was,
a novelty, when he was predicting plays. I don't watch it a lot. Now, my understanding is he's not predicting plays as much anymore because
he fails miserably and tells
further,
you why he's still right.
Right. He's further removed from playing. When you retire and you – quarterbacks, let's be real. Quarterbacks spend dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hours studying game film of everything that's going on. It makes sense that a year or two after you retire, you know what all these defenses are doing. You know what everybody's doing because you just studied them for 10 hours last year when you played them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even 8 years, the NFL has progressed tremendously from where Tony Romo was.
So he blows it now trying to predict all plays?
Well, here's the thing. He doesn't blow it all the time, but whenever he makes the correct prediction, let's say one out of every 10 times, which I could do sitting at home as well, he's going to let you know how he knows everything. And this is the same thing with I cannot remember who the other guy is that does that. Well, Brady tried to do that, and I think he stopped real quick. Brady's been getting better, but
has he been getting? I know the first week or two. Yeah, the first week was
the first week was a little rough. We'll say, and that's putting it lightly. I think there was the one interaction between him and I think it was Dean Blandino was in the booth with him. Goes over for a handshake, high five, whatever it was. Dean's just staring at the game, doesn't even look over at Brady.
Okay.
That was the best.
Well, those awkward bro moments.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you just, because they went in on the studio, like, oh, this is, I think it's Daryl Johnson with him or something like that. Hey, it's Daryl Johnson, Tom Brady. We got Dean Blum. And then Brady goes over to, you know, shake his hand. Nothing. Dean's not even paying attention. Something. It was hilarious.
Well, Brady, you know, for as rich and famous and married to a supermodel and they're divorced now, all that stuff, he's just such a weirdo. He's just a weird dude.
Brady's unique. Unique is the word I put.
Nah, he's a weirdo.
Because he does, like, the avocado ice cream was pretty weird. That was his diet.
You ever seen the, I mean, kind of gross. You ever seen the video of him, like, kissing his son?
I was just about to bring that up.
Oh my God, that is weird. That's one of the weirdest things. He's, like, holding a lip kiss with his son for 2 full seconds. Like,
isn't his son, like, on his back?
On his back. And then, 14 or something.
Yeah, it was a little strange.
My kids are 12. Like, I don't want even to, they don't barely want to give a hug anymore.
Yeah, I might give my parents, like, a side hug. It's pretty hard to full embrace, let alone kiss on the lips at the age of 14. And, you know, the second that video went out, that kid.
Oh my God. That kid's going to inherit, he's going to be worth $1 billion someday. He's going to inherit the Raiders. You think Brady should be calling NFL games when he's an owner?
Yeah, I don't care. I think it's fine. You know, they got these guidelines in place. Sure, whatever.
I got all sidetracked because Nathan's going to run the show. I just remember thinking that Al Michaels, just how sad that was because it was so. Hey, I remember in that particular game, were the Steelers playing the Titans? I think this particular
Patriots.
Game, I think. I think they were playing the Titans.
I think it was a Thursday.
Because I watched it because it was very interesting because I think Will Levis played some.
And
Al Michaels just didn't. He just seemed confused about a lot of things. Now, the second half, I remember he got better, but. A little bit of backstory. I grew up a Chicago Cubs fan, so I watched Harry Caray broadcast 2,000 games. Harry Caray was drunk, old, didn't know what he was talking about. It was, but that was his shtick. Nobody expected Harry Caray in the 80s and 90s to be on top of everything like you do broadcasters now.
Yeah. Broadcasters are so weird to me because I think of a guy like Al Michaels. I don't hate him as much as a lot of people do. He doesn't get super excited. He's like, touchdown. He's very monotone for what it is. And I sort of like that because, you know, I don't hate him, but a guy like Gus Johnson, whenever you have to hear Maserati Marv 150 times during a broadcast, or the Zamboni's calling Nicky now, it gets a little repetitive.
How many times did he say Zamboni's Saturday during the USC game?
Well, I think it was the UCLA game. But UCLA, that's right. I think he said it no less than 15 to 20 times,
ridiculous.
A single drive. Uh-huh. It was... I was like, listen, it's funny the first one or two times, but whenever, you know... Marvin Harrison Jr. has 12 catches on Penn State, and you got to hear why he's going down the field and just call him the Maserati all the time. It gets a little old, but I can see why Al Michaels turns people the wrong way now because to me he feels like he just shows up and calls the games and,
right.
But it also
phoning it in.
But it also the weird thing I like about it though is it feels like you're just watching the game with him. Like it's like he's sitting on the couch next to you. He's not.
I'm going to shut up here because Nathan's going to be in charge of a lot of this stuff today, so he's got topics.
Where are you going, Corey? This is
good stuff. It's my birthday. I talk about whatever the hell I want.
It's your birthday.
Being a national broadcaster is an impossible job because everybody thinks you hate their team. Like Kirk Herbstreit. I'm not a particularly big fan of Kirk Herbstreit. I think he's good on College Game Day.
I like Kirk a lot.
During games. You like Kirk during games?
I do like Kirk.
I think he's an insufferable blowhard a-hole during games. I think that he's afraid to criticize or say anything analytical ever about anybody ever, and he's just calling it straight down the middle. I actually want my broadcasters to tell me what's going on and why it's happening. That's why I did like Tony Romo. Tony Romo, at least at the time, tell you why it's happening. Kirk Herbstreit, I think, has become a political figure with regards to he does not want to offend anyone.
Kirk had to
move from Columbus because as an Ohio State guy, he lived there, and he was getting threatened. His family was getting threatened. This is going on 10, 12 years ago. And he had to move away because Ohio State fans felt he was too critical of them. So now Kirk Herbstreit, I think, is just so vanilla. I think he's so vanilla about everything that I find it, I'm wondering why. Can you give me any information this way?
All right. I
see where I'm coming from that perspective?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. He is very down the middle. I don't hate it as an announcer. I just think his voice, and this might be just a nostalgia thing, it's synonymous with college football. The same thing with Gus Johnson. That's why I don't hate Gus Johnson's, because you think back about Tavon Austin, 15 years ago, he's calling those games, and, you know, that's wrapped in your brain. Then even at the NFL level, he did some games. And
when he first started doing all that exciting thing. I think, again, what I was going to say was about announcers is, if you say anything critical, if you're watching if you're broadcasting a Penn State game and you're a national announcer and you say anything critical about Penn State, you've got the largest alumni foundation in the world criticizing you now. Yeah. And I think broadcasters don't want that. They don't want any part of feeling like somebody's coming down on them. So I think in a lot of times broadcasters nowadays they're calling it so down the middle. That they're just afraid to go outside the box on anything for fear that those teams are now going to those fans are now going to bombard them on social media.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, a guy who I've been liking listening to recently a lot, former Penn State guy Adam Brenneman. I think he's a really good announcer. He hasn't gotten his shot yet. Do you remember Brenneman?
I dealt with Adam a good bit. I think Adam is extremely smart. I think Adam is a gigantic billion times percent homer.
Oh, absolutely. He loves Penn State.
He's the owner of state media. Mm-hmm. He will never criticize Penn.
That's probably why I like
him. Right. But see, that's the thing. Oh, so as a fan, okay, but if you're a Michigan fan, would you like Adam Brenneman?
Probably not.
See what I'm getting at? Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. If you're viewing Adam Brenneman because he sucks up to Penn State all the time, is he doing his job? Well, Adam Brenneman is part owner of a company called State Media now that they – if he's critical of Penn State, is he going to get the one-on-one interview with James Franklin?
Probably not, if he's critical of him.
So what do you want as a Penn State fan? Somebody that's just going to say positive things all the time? Yes.
Yeah.
You can say yes.
Yeah.
But if you're an Ohio State or a Big Ten fan,
probably not.
Do they do that for you?
No. And that's why I don't think he's going to move up the ranks too
much. He's not. He's going to struggle. Adam is very, very intelligent. I've dealt with Adam a good bit. Adam and I have had some correspondence a little bit over Twitter. But while I respect him and he's incredibly smart, again, I'm not a Penn State fan. I don't look at media to be a fan of all these people. I'm looking for information. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if you're losing to Ohio State and Michigan all the time, I need you to give me concrete, hardcore information why.
Yeah.
Because who would know better than somebody who's been there in those games?
In the building. Yeah.
But they can't do it because they all suck at the teat of Penn State. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because this is a great discussion because you're very young and you're a fan and you're kind of venturing into sports media. But that's not sports media. Mm-hmm. That's sports fandom.
Yes.
And if you can't say anything analytical for fear of pissing somebody off because now you've lost your access, well, state media, their entire thing is access to Penn State. Mm-hmm. So can they be overly critical?
Probably, I mean, they can't be overly critical because you don't want to lose that access. So I guess that gives you some reputability issues is just that because you have to be biased almost in a way. So.
And again, I'll go back to, do you think Ohio State ever wants Adam Brenneman doing color commentary on one of its games?
No.
You think Michigan wants that?
No.
You think any team really that is an opponent of Penn State would want Adam Brenneman around their program a whole lot knowing how close he is to Penn State? And that's a challenge. That's a very difficult challenge.
And that's going to be, I think, a thing with Tom Brady has to deal with now with being the Raiders owners.
Well, the NFL, that's a good point because everybody's going to, especially with the Raiders owner, they're going to be guarded with some of the information they give him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
See, these are all great discussions because it comes down to what do fans want to hear? What can broadcasters give fans? What do fans – well, a fan of a team wants to hear how their team is doing great. But if you're a national broadcaster, it does put you in a predicament of, well, can I go too far? Can I – okay, for instance, during the USC game, Nathan, would you agree or disagree that after the opening drive, which Andy Kolarnicki was phenomenal, at times during the rest of that game, did he try to get too cute and do some things that didn't quite work?
Absolutely.
Did you hear any broadcaster say that during the game?
Not to my recollection.
Nope, you did not. Because that's the kind of thing that a national broadcaster would be afraid to say when they're praise, because I thought the opening drive against USC was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Excellent.
From Kotelniki. He's calling all this crazy stuff like he's playing a video game. But then as the game goes on and teams start to adjust, I'll give Neil Riddell credit from the Altoona Mirror. He's the one that pointed this out on Twitter that he's being too cute. But why should a sports writer say that on Twitter, but a broadcaster on TV is afraid to say it?
They don't want to get on the wrong side of somebody.
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess it's kind of the balance you got to figure out.
I think the best guy that does it, who actually will give opinion, is Joel Klatt.
I was gonna say Joel Klatt, because I was gonna mention how he's pretty critical of his alma mater.
He's the anti Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah.
Kirk Herbstreit won't say anything critical ever. Joel Klatt, he will. I'm not even gonna say be overly critical, but he will analyze to the degree of relative criticism any team in any situation, no matter what, and then he will still get access to these teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difficult line to walk, right? That's a very fine line, because Joel Klatt's probably number two behind Herbstreit in terms of maybe panache
at this point.
As a color commentator.
Yeah, this guy's shot up the rankings
in
the past five years.
Big.
Very quick, too.
And he is not afraid to give opinions on things. I would kind of compare him to college basketball, you know, like a Dan Dockich kind of guy. Now, Dan Dockich mm-hmm. really ran out of favor with a big mouth. But, me personally, I want a broadcaster that's not afraid to challenge what he's seeing from these teams.
There is one guy that I don't want to say I can't stand, but he gets on my nerves pretty quickly. It's the guy who does with Brad Nessler on CBS. He was calling – I cannot remember his name. He was calling the game, the Penn State game.
Was it Gary Danielson?
That might be. I cannot remember. But he always just like – it seems like he always tries to insert something when Brad Nessler's talking.
Yeah.
He cuts him off all the time. Now
I'm pretty sure it was Brad and Gary Danielson. They've both been doing
yeah.
it a long, long time.
And I think they're both great. I don't like how he cuts him off all the time. It feels like he's in the middle of talking about, because there was something in the USC game. I think they were talking about the torch, and he kept cutting him off every single time, about like five or six times. And I was like, all right, dude, just let him either finish the sentence so we don't have to hear about the torch one more time, or just mute his mic for 5 minutes.
So it's 4:18. We've been talking about this for 18 minutes. This is a great discussion. I feel like we could probably talk about this for another 2 hours.
Absolutely.
And it goes back to what I was saying earlier about during baseball season. I come in here, and by the time I'm looking at 4:18, I'm like, oh, my God, what are we going to talk about next? I got literally nothing else, and I've got 42 minutes to fill.
Yeah.
And I used to do 2 hours a day.
That's crazy to me.
For 10 and a half years, I did 2 hours a day, during a lot of it during baseball season. And so this is what I'm talking about. Like football, you can just kind of wing it, really, and
exactly.
go into nice, fun conversations.
100%, 100%. And, I mean, we didn't even touch. I got 15 college football.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. We'll do that. And then we got predictions on the other side as well. So get ready. We got a good show. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe. J&P Auto Mart, that's where I should have gone. You can find them on the web at jnpautomart.com. J&P Auto Mart, that's where I'm gonna go. Call 1-800-567-6940. Stuck here at a red light, feeling like a jerk, since I bought that sales pitch from that auto clerk. I never should have listened to what he had to say. If I'd gone to J&P Auto Mart, I'd have had a better day.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your Halloween party or trick-or-treat, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's chips and snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. I've helped many guys with ED in my 12 years of practice. But now you can get world-class care for ED 100% online by going to HIMSS.com. So what are you waiting for?
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to HIMSS.com/joy.
Hank FM.
All right, Sports Central 10/17/2024. I am Nathan Felina, joined with the birthday boy, Corey Geiger.
Going out to eat tonight.
Where
with
are you going?
The wife.
Where are you going?
Typically, my birthday destination is Aki. I love Aki. Okay. They do the hibachi in front of you and everything. My wife, sometimes she's one of the great things, and this is like free publicity from one of the great things about that particular place, and there are very few, you can BYOB.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you can bring your own like bottle of wine, I can go get me a relatively decent drinkable bottle of wine for $13 as opposed to spending $45 at the restaurant.
Yeah.
So that to me is always a great
benefit. Is
there
many other places besides
that? Not many. Not in terms of like,
only one I can think about
like not in terms of like either upper scale or you know, really big national chains like Red Lobster, Olive Garden, Texas. You can't bring your own beer
absolutely
to those kind
not
of places. Because they're there to
they got their own bars there
and they're there to rip you off with their beers. It's not 100%. Quite as bad as like sporting events or concerts.
Oh my god, sporting events and concerts are the worst. I mean,
we went to Journey Def Leppard a couple months ago, and you can get like this like 32 or 36 ounce large margarita thing anywhere for $3. They were $16 at Hershey. Then Journey and Def Leppard were at PNC Park 2 days later. I found out those were $28 for a $3
that's insane,
can man of like margarita stuff. $28.
That is crazy. That is wild. All right, so we got a caller on the line.
No, Jerry hung up. Jerry,
well, we don't have a caller on the line.
Come on, Jerry, call back. Jerry wanted to talk to some announcers. So anyway, so you go ahead.
All right, so we just got some college football questions here for the next 10 minutes or so. We're going to talk about all sorts nationally and stuff like that. So I'll start with this, Corey. Who do you think is the greatest college football team of all time that you've seen, you can say in your lifetime or just of all time?
2019 LSU.
You think?
I think that was the greatest offense that we've ever seen.
Is it the greatest offense or the greatest team?
It wasn't the greatest necessarily team because their defense wasn't sensational, but that was Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. That team, I think, could probably put up close to 50 plus on any team that's ever played the game.
Yeah. I would say the 2001 Miami Hurricanes is the team I'd go with.
Yeah, they had all those draft picks and everything.
Yeah, I think that team is absolutely incredible. Do you remember 2007 in college football?
Was that USC Texas?
I think that was the year before.
2006.
2007 was the year of the upset. Everything went crashing down.
Was that Florida? Was that Michigan, Ohio State? They played that game at the end and people wanted a repeat national championship?
Let's see. So where does it say right here? Champion was LSU in 2008. So that'd be 2008 BCS championship, 2007 season. That was LSU. That was the year you had Michigan start out the year going down to Appalachian State. You had University of Southern Florida. The Bulls were number two at one point in the nation.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because it was the curse of the number two. So I'm reading it right here. Stanford defeated number two USC. That was Richard Sherman, wide receiver.
Was West Virginia number two when Pitt beat them?
Yep.
And that destroyed West. That's one of the great wins Pitt's had in the last 30, 40 years, really, because they destroyed West Virginia.
Yeah, that. You had Florida State beating Boston College. You had Matt Ryan on that team. I think it was, I'm showing right here. Three straight weeks, the number two team lost to an unranked team, which is crazy. Rutgers beat the South Florida team.
That's right. I remember that, yeah.
Oregon State beat Cal, which was number two, which is insane to think about. California being, I think DeSean Jackson was on that team. Marshawn Lynch, I'm assuming, was on that team.
Just think of what you're reading there. Cal and Southern and South Florida are number two in the country.
That's insane.
Yeah. Hey, we got Jerry on the line. What's up,
there
Jerry?
We go.
What's up,
yeah,
Jerry?
I'm in the hills of Pennsylvania, so I don't know how long I got you, but I think that the football announcers, NFL announcers, are some of the most overpaid people in sports. I think people would watch the NFL games without having to pay Tony Romo $16 or $17 million a year, or Brady $30 million a year, whatever these guys are making. I just think that, you know, more power to them from getting the money, but I think the networks are being kind of ridiculous what they pay these guys.
I mean, I 100% agree. Yeah, I mean, everything's overpaid, but you think about it, how many eyes are on the game. I mean, it's insane. So, I mean, I see why they shell out that amount of money, but it is probably overpaid.
But don't you think that people, I mean, we're NFL crazy in this country. I think they'd still watch them and have some very competent, you know, people that would do it for a heck of a lot less money. I think Charles Barkley makes like $20 million a year for as an NBA analyst. So I think that's ridiculous.
He doesn't even announce games. He just sits around a desk two times a week.
Now we got a good discussion, because now you pissed me off. I will listen to Charles Barkley talk all day. You know why? He'll tell you something. He'll give me an opinion. He won't back down from anybody. He's not afraid to take on anybody. I do love what you said about the NFL announcers. Is if you heard me say 10 minutes ago, these guys don't tell you anything. I don't think they say anything. Nobody's being overly analytical, because the NFL, they're all in it together. The networks, the league, they're all in it together. Again, give me a Joel Klatt in college football. Give me somebody who's on his own and is willing to say something, you know, about something. I don't think these NFL announcers are, and absolutely not. I totally agree. There's no way those guys are worth $10, $20, $37 million to do color commentary whenever they're not even going to tell you anything.
Yeah, see, I don't like to listen to homers. I don't like to listen to homers when I'm listening to politics. I don't like to listen to it when I'm listening to a sports game either. I want to get fair analysis. And if it's my favorite team, I want the guys to be brutally honest. Was it Dan Dierdorf that used to do games? I always liked him because he would tell you stuff. You know, and I liked Tim McCarver, you know, when he did baseball games years ago. I mean, you would learn stuff. I mean, they would be critical if they had an opinion. I don't like the homers. It's almost like you're not learning anything. You can't trust what they're saying because they're not giving you all the details.
You bring up a great one in Tim McCarver. Now, this predates you, Nathan. Tim McCarver was a pretty good baseball player, but him and Joe Buck, they did the World Series. They were the number one baseball team. I thought Tim McCarver was excellent. I thought he gave you real information, Jerry, and he was hated by baseball fans everywhere. Why do you think that was?
Huh.
Because he was honest, and they felt he was too critical of their team. So Tim McCarver would give you information on any and every team. And this is what I was going back earlier to, Nathan, about if you're a national broadcaster, it's hard. You're walking such a line of if you say anything in the world, well, why is James Franklin going for this on 4th and 2? Well, even if 95% of Penn State fans agree with you, the other 5 will make your life miserable because they'll come out of the woodworks and blast you. And that was that, Jerry. That was Tim McCarver probably for 20 years, man.
Yeah, maybe longer. You know, but we just don't get to hear that much anymore. And I think it's a loss. But
good stuff, man.
Thanks.
I love it. Good question. All right.
Yeah, that's a good one right there.
Yeah.
All right.
Got some more college football.
Yeah,
topics
we got some
here.
More college football. This is really interesting. This might shape up to actually happen. Are Army and Navy going to play for a spot in the college football playoffs later this year? You don't think so?
No, because does Navy still have Notre Dame?
Because they're not independents. They're in a conference.
Does Navy still have Notre Dame?
They both play Notre Dame.
That's going to be.
You don't think so?
No, I think that'll – I mean, because if Notre Dame loses to either one of those after losing to Northern Illinois, that would be brutal.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I guess Notre Dame, are they ever going to join a conference, you think, or do you think they're going to be independent?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think they will be forced to join a conference.
ACC?
I don't know what the conferences are going to be.
Okay.
I don't know when this professional college football league is coming about.
Yes.
If it's 5, 10, 15, whenever it's going to be, everyone will have to get on board. You're not going to have, well, now we have 70 teams and Notre Dame. You know, that's not going to work.
It might just be all one gigantic mosh posh.
Whether the Yankees and Dodgers want to be involved with revenue sharing with the Pittsburgh Pirates or not, they are because they're in the same league.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, Notre Dame is going to have to be wrangled in with everyone else because it's just not going to work financially or logistically.
For sure, for sure. Which college football powerhouse is going to miss the college football playoffs this year? So right now, Ole Miss is kind of on the outstretch. I'm going to pull up the AP poll and kind of pick some names out right here. You're probably looking at, like, Tennessee could be one right
here. That was the first one that came to my mind.
Yeah, because a loss this weekend is going to be really tough. There has been a lot of chaos in college football this year, but two losses and you really don't have a great win. Oklahoma wins looking worse and worse by week, so.
LSU is one that is out there. Alabama has LSU, and then at Oklahoma, Auburn, and then I'm guessing they would maybe play the SEC championship game if they're in position. Alabama could lose three games.
Absolutely, I can totally see that happen. I guess technically they are a powerhouse, even though they haven't been relevant in the last few years. Miami, I think, is a few plays away from kind of being off
the radar.
They're
susceptible. Let's look at the rest. They're susceptible. I don't think they're a top five or six team like their ranking. Mm-hmm. The rest of the schedule, Louisville, Florida State, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake, Syracuse. That schedule is, my God, that's so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole schedule is horrific.
Yeah, well, Louisville this weekend, that spread is really close for what I thought it was going to be for the Miami team coming off a bye. So we'll kind of see about that. I know you love Dion. Is Colorado good, do you think? Because they've looked a hell of a lot better than they have last year.
Screw you, man. You've put me my back into a corner on this one. If I say to you, nobody puts baby in a corner, do you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
You don't even know what I'm talking about. Nathan is so young, he doesn't even know what nobody puts baby in a corner. It's Dirty Dancing, 1987, Jennifer Grey.
I played
Swayze.
Yesterday's Music Trivia was Time of My Life.
There you go. So that's one of the great lines in movie history. Nobody puts baby in a corner. You're putting me in a corner, forcing me to admit that Colorado was better than I thought.
Colorado, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be after this year, assuming Shador
they're both
and
gone.
Travis. That's
going to
be a big thing. I think that team's solid.
They lost to Kansas.
If they beat Kansas State, they're all of a sudden in
that
a
would have
pursuit
been,
for college football playoffs.
That would have been a terrific, because I think Kansas State's really good.
I do too.
Yeah, I think Kansas State's a solid program.
You think they make the playoffs?
No. They typically find a way to blow it at some point. But Colorado, you cannot be a good football team unless you have players on the line of scrimmage. And Dion just doesn't understand that. Dion thinks that if you get a bunch of Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunters, that you can win titles that way. You can't. You can't. Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia will beat the holy hell out of Colorado. Mm-hmm. I mean, could you imagine Colorado trying to stop, deny Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter? Penn State might have 10 sacks in that game.
Yeah, I think he's bolstered the offensive line a little bit, but still not championship
correct
level.
And that's what I was going to say. Their lines have gotten better. I give Dion credit this year. They're much better. Last year was a travesty. They got off to a good start, then they finished 4-8, I believe, and lost their last six or seven games.
Yeah.
This year they are better, so you've put me in a corner having to admit that Colorado is better. I can't just, because earlier in the year when we were doing our picks, I ain't picking Colorado like ever. Well, the Kansas State game gave me a little bit of pause there.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for, Hunter, I don't even really think played the
second
half.
No, he only played like 20 snaps.
Yeah, so we'll kind of see. Talk about this guy. Is Ashton Gentry breaking Barry's single season records?
You know, let me look at the rest of their schedule, because he's got like 1,400 yards rushing already.
So the thing about Genty is you're always worried that they're going to pull him, because that's what they've done a few times.
Well,
half.
They're trying to get him a Heisman, though. They're trying to get him a Heisman now.
I think now they're going to let him run a little bit longer because you bit through the first. I mean, this against Oregon, 25 carries for 192 yards and 3 touchdowns.
And that's really good.
That's insane.
That's absolutely good. So look at this. Now they go to UNLV, home against San Diego State, home against Nevada. Now, not to say these are great teams, but these are teams that have traditionally been okay programs. San Diego State's 3-4, Nevada's 3-4, UNLV is 5-1. I don't think you can just continue to be averaging 200, 225 yards rushing. So, but can he break Bear's record is like 26-something? 2,600-something yards?
Maybe 27. It's up there.
That's incredible, and I want to say that that's Barry without the bowl game. I don't know that Barry's record included his bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's through 12 games.
Correct. So it's very likely that he will break the record and win the Heisman.
I think he's going to win the Heisman because I feel like this guy, he'd be off the coast right now if we weren't talking. I mean, if he wasn't even in the conversation, nothing. I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
We got Chuck in Unionville. We'll take one more call. What's up, Chuck? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
All right, man.
Good. Hey, you were talking about Dion and Colorado. And I just really called to say, how good do you think Penn State is this year? I know the record. I'm not following the team. I couldn't even tell you who's on it.
My question yesterday was, can Penn State win the national title? I think no. Nathan, what do you think?
No.
I think Penn State is a really good team. They got a lot of really good players. I think Georgia would beat them. I think Texas would beat them. I think Ohio State will beat them. I think Oregon probably could beat them because Oregon can throw the ball. So right now, Penn State might be the 5th, 6th, 7th best team in the country. I think I think Penn State could maybe beat Alabama on a neutral field. It'd be close. It may be a toss up, but I think Penn State can get in the playoff and win a game. But if they have to run into in the second round a Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State kind of team, Texas, I think that's where it ends.
I agree 100%.
I was thinking that. But I tell you what, Corey, I think that the fact that they expanded the college playoffs and Penn State, you know, I probably is going to get in this year and be a part of that system. That had to happen to be able to level the playing field and benefit Penn State in the long run. Because I always thought that their ability to recruit was always hamstrung. Whoever those top four teams that made it into the playoff on an annual basis. I mean, that was literally like giving, you know, the top four, the teams in the NFL that made it to the NFC and AFC championship games, the first four draft picks of the draft. And until you can get other teams into that to give kids an idea that, hey, I may not have to go to Georgia. I may not have to go to Alabama. I can get to a Penn State and get into the playoff system. That's what I think they're going to need to be able to crack where they want to go.
And they absolutely should get in the playoff. Even if they lose to Ohio State, they're 11-1. They got a home game in the playoff. It sets up well for everything is set up well. Now it's up to James Franklin to prove it.
100%. If I ever had a qualifier for Franklin, that's what I had always thought in my mind, that he was, you know, today everybody's competing nationally for recruiting. And even being a part of the Big Ten, he was competing against Ohio State and in some ways against Michigan for recruiting. And until he could get himself within that playoff system to give kids that might have thought, hey, I may not, you know, it's that whole thing. I may not, if I want to get in the playoff system, I got to get to Alabama. But if I get on Alabama and I get a playing time, they know if they're going to come to Penn State, they're going to play. And that would have been the thing to really be able to help him with the recruiting that he needed. But once he gets that, he's got to prove what he can do as a coach. And you and I think have always agreed that he's a good man, runs a good program, but he's not the X's and O's guy that you need to be able to get them where they want to go.
Good stuff, buddy.
Appreciate it, Chuck. We'll be back on the other side with our college and NFL picks.
Hours after the checkered flag flew on Sunday, we found out that Alex Bowman's number 48 car failed post-race inspection. Despite finishing 18th, which was enough to make the next round of the playoffs, his car didn't meet the minimum weight requirement for a post-race vehicle and was DQ'd from the event, meaning he's now out of the playoffs just like that, and the 22 car of Joey Logano is back in. NASCAR's Brad Moran, Cup Series managing director, said, quote, as we were running them through post-race inspection, unfortunately, the number 48 had an issue and did not meet minimum weight. So we put the car aside and continued on. They were allowed a 5% weight break, which is for the usage of fuel and so on. That's about 17 pounds we took off the scales. Put it back on, and it was the same weight. So the car had a weight issue. All the other cars cleared inspection. The number 48 didn't, and ends in a DQ, end quote. The statement from Hendrick Motorsports says, Hendrick Motorsports will not appeal the disqualification of the number 48 car following Sunday's race at the Charlotte Roval. NASCAR allows a clear margin to account for the difference in pre- and post-race weight. After a thorough review by our team and the sanctioning body, we simply did not give ourselves enough margin to meet post-race requirements. Although unintentional, the infraction was avoidable. We are extremely disappointed to lose a playoff spot under these circumstances and apologize to our fans and partners, end quote. You're on the final lap.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its edge-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
When you're hiring, ZipRecruiter's technology makes finding qualified candidates for your job easy. What if the rest of the world was as easy as ZipRecruiter? Math problems wouldn't be so problematic.
K equals 42.
And summiting Everest would be a walk in the park. In the meantime, if you want to make your hiring easier, use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
You know what Tupac probably loved, Corey?
I could say something really inappropriate, and, but no, what did he really love?
Probably a J.M. Boswell's Piper Cigar.
Oh, I was not thinking that.
You're not thinking that? Well,
I was thinking maybe he would have loved living.
Well, yeah, he might be living right now.
Is there a theory that Tupac's alive?
There's a theory for pretty much everybody who died young that they're still alive. I doubt it, but you never know. You never know. Yeah, J.M. Boswell Pipe Cigar. Great birthday present for Corey.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
If anybody wants to give him a birthday present, that is a great idea. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday. And always open online at BoswellPipes.com. All right, so we got predictions, Corey. Last week, I hate to break to you, but...
Oh, go ahead.
I got 5 games up on you. I was
last week was a disaster for me.
I was perfect up until the Monday Night Football, in which the Jets screwed me and you. We both had.
No, what happened was I got the first game of the week, the college football game, Arizona State and Utah. So Nathan and I disagreed on 7 games, and I got the first one, and you got the final 6, including like a couple of like... again, this is what's interesting about picks, all right? I picked USC. If they complete one pass, I win, and you lose. And that's the thing about picking football is that, you know, these games, We're both competitive. I don't want to lose. I don't want to go down five games. But so we were tied.
Now it's five.
Now you get up five friggin' games in one day.
Well, we'll see if you can rebound right here. So.
I get because you're winning. I get you. You got to go first all this right. week, and I got to go second.
Sounds good. We'll start with the college football as always. And tonight playing is Boston College and Virginia Tech.
I love this. This is Bill O'Brien,
Brent Pry
versus Brent Pry. This is fantastic. You got to go first.
Give me Virginia Tech here.
I'm gonna go Virginia. I think Virginia Tech. It's a pretty good football team.
Yeah, I do as well. Oklahoma State and BYU tomorrow. BYU 13th in the country. 9-point favorites at home.
You're going
first. I'm going BYU.
I'm going BYU as well.
Number six, Miami. Going to Louisville. Louisville is 4.5-point dogs at home. Give me Miami here coming off a bye. They need to kind of find their mojo back, and I think this is the week.
I will take Louisville
okay.
in an upset. I don't think Miami is all that.
I think coming off the bye, I think it gives them a little bit of time to reassess where they're at. But we'll end up seeing that one.
Yep.
Nebraska going to Indiana, who's 16th in the country right now. It's 6.5-point favorites. I want to keep riding with Cignetti. It's got to stop at some point. I mean, Nebraska isn't the craziest team in the world, but I don't think Indiana is either. I understand Cignetti's a great coach. It's still Indiana at the end of the day. I'm going to pick the upset here. I'm going to go with Nebraska.
Wow. On the road, you're taking it. You're taking Nebraska.
Yeah, they haven't been themselves the last few weeks. I don't know if that's just their team or if Matt Rhule is going to be able to get these boys going again. They were hot for a while, and I think this is a big statement week for them, and I think they go into Bloomington and end up winning the game.
I'm going to take Indiana. They can really move the ball. Their quarterbacks.
They can.
They're
completing a solid
team. 74%, 14 TDs, 2 interceptions. So I'll take Indiana.
All right. Auburn going to Missouri, 19th in the country, 4.5-point favorites at home. I can't pick Auburn ever,
so
give me Missouri.
I don't like Missouri. I think Missouri was number 9 in the country a couple weeks ago. They were drastically overrated.
They were number 6 at one point.
Were they? But I cannot. I do not trust Auburn at all.
Agree 100%. We'll save one of these big games for later. 12 Notre Dame going to Georgia Tech, who's 11-point underdogs at home. I think Georgia Tech definitely covers that, but I think Notre Dame is starting to find their stride right here, so I'll go Notre Dame.
I like both of those things you said. I think they can cover that, but I'll go Notre Dame as well.
24 Michigan going to 22 Illinois, 3.5-point underdogs for Illinois at home. Michigan.
It's a very interesting game.
Michigan, I think you're going to see this going to be the most improved team in the back half. I think they found their quarterback. He found a little bit of a stride, then kind of regressed in the Washington game. But coming off a bye, I like Michigan here to rebound and get this big win right here.
I'm going to take Michigan as well. I like what you said about the second half of the season. You know, new coach, they're trying to figure some things out, I think. But they've got better players here, so I think they will.
It's going to sound crazy. Don't be shocked if they beat Ohio State again this year. Don't.
I will be shocked.
I think.
I will be floored if they beat Ohio State.
It's going to be close
game. I think Ohio State is awesome.
I do, too.
Just because they
it's a rivalry game.
Just because they lost a one-point game and got screwed by an NCAA rule. Mm-hmm. If that NCAA rule had been in effect today, like they just switched it to yesterday, Ohio State wins that game on a field goal. So
Michigan's good defensively, and that might keep him in, and that might be a big deal. Now, I do think it's in at Columbus this year, so maybe Ohio State
won
that
game.
We're
both taking Michigan
there. We'll talk about that in a few weeks when we get to that. Colorado, we just talked about going to Arizona. I'm sticking with my rule right here. I'm never picking Arizona again, so give me Colorado.
That's interesting because I just said earlier that I hate thinking about Colorado as being a good team. But I did get you twice this year on Arizona. You were real high on them early on. And I'm just looking here.
Going back to the well.
I'm looking to see what they just did. They just got hammered by BYU and only 20. Yeah, I'll go Colorado here. I hate to say it. I'm not going to have faith in Arizona here.
Very disappointing team, Arizona's here.
Yeah.
8 LSU going to Arkansas. He was only 2.5-point dogs at home. I like LSU here. I think they're a pretty good team. So give me LSU.
I know a lot of history of Arkansas at home in these kinds of games. These are the kind of games that Arkansas really, really gets up for and pulls a lot of upsets when they're playing in-state, either Fayetteville or Little Rock. So I'm going to go Woo Pick Suey. I'm going to take the Hogs here in an upset.
That's a homer right there.
That's a homer. That's a homer pick just because I know there have been a lot of SEC really good teams going to Fayetteville and not be ready for it.
100%. 17, Kansas State going to West Virginia, 3-point dogs at home, West Virginia.
Real good one here.
I like Kansas State right here. I think they're starting. Avery Johnson's a great quarterback, so I'm going to go Kansas State.
I will take Kansas State as well. They've bailed me out a couple times this year.
All right, the two big games now. 7 Alabama going to Tennessee, who is a 3-point dog at home. I think both teams are really struggling right now, but I think Tennessee really has lost their footing, especially Nico, their quarterback. So I'm going to go Alabama here.
I will take Alabama as well.
All right, and then the final game, the big one of the week, number 5, Georgia going to Texas. I was in the spot last week with Ohio State where I thought Ohio State was going to steamroll Oregon. If that game's played in Columbus, I think they steamroll Oregon. So I think Texas is going to steamroll Georgia right here. I like Texas. I think they're by far and away the best team in the country. Give me Texas.
No, but this is not in Austin, correct?
It is in Austin.
This is in Dallas. I thought this was in Dallas.
I think it's in Austin. Is it in Dallas?
I was thinking, let's double check
that. Last week was at the Cotton Bowl.
I thought this was at more of, not a neutral field, but I thought this was at a, not on campus.
Maybe I'm wrong. Where's this at? Let's see.
Texas, Georgia football. It's in Austin?
In Austin, I believe.
All right. Then if it's in Austin, then I will go Texas.
I think so.
Because if this were going to be one of those games again, like in Dallas, key matchup, players to watch. Yeah. Let's save this for after the break. I want to know where this game is. Because if this is not in Austin, I'm picking Georgia.
All right. Sounds good. We'll do a little research.
We'll check it out after the
break. All right. We'll transition to NFL. 3 disagreements right there, assuming we don't disagree on Texas and Georgia right there. 3 as it stands. Transitioning to the NFL. Terrible Thursday night game tonight. Maybe it turns out to be incredible. I doubt it. Broncos going to New Orleans. 3-point dogs at home. New Orleans is. I like Denver here. I think the Saints have lost all hope in their season. Just came out a few minutes ago, Rashid Shaheed, one of their top receivers, is officially out for the year. So I like Denver here, and I like them pretty easily.
I will take Broncos as well. That game is in Austin, so yeah. We're both going to go Texas.
All right, sounds good. New England and Jacksonville in the Suck Bowl over in London.
Oh, my God.
5.5-point favorites.
Let's just roll through these really quick, some of these crappy games. Go ahead.
Give me Jacksonville.
I'll take Jacksonville.
Seattle and Atlanta. Atlanta 3, but this is actually a pretty good game.
That's a good game.
3-point favorites at home, Atlanta is. Seattle needs a win right here, and I think they're in desperation mode, so I'll go here.
I will take Atlanta.
Okay. We got Tennessee going to Buffalo. Easily Buffalo, in my opinion.
I don't trust the Titans at all. I'll take Buffalo there.
They lost to Joey Flacco and the Colts last week at home after they should have won that game. So Cincinnati and Cleveland, 5.5-point point dogs. Cleveland is at home. Give me Cincinnati here pretty easily. Deshaun Watson is just not himself.
I read a stat that he's 0 for his last 26 on third down.
That's insane.
That's almost impossible.
You have to be that.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if he didn't convert one against Philly. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, I'll go with the Bengals there.
Although Cincinnati, they play the Giants way too close, in my opinion, on Sunday Night Football. But Houston going to Green Bay in another great matchup. Green Bay is 2.5-point favorites at home. Houston's too hot right now, and it needs to stop at some point. Nico Collins, that big injury, is going to catch up with them at some point. I like Green Bay here at home. They also got to keep up with that NFC North, which looks like the best division we've seen in years.
I will take Green Bay as well. Hard to pick against them in at home.
Yeah. The Dolphins going to Indianapolis. AR is back. Anthony Richardson, 3-point favorites at home. That makes me want to pick Miami, but then I realize Miami is rolling out Tyler Huntley at quarterback, so I'm going to go with the Colts.
Colts as well? So they're going with him over Flacco.
It's going to get real loud real quick. I think Flacco is going to – but you can't. It's that weird situation.
Richardson is young. You got to find out.
Yeah. I 17 starts prior this year between high school, college, and the NFL.
Oh, is that it?
That's insane.
Holy cow. Yeah, they got to find out about it.
The fact that he was a fourth overall pick is insane to me. But you got the Lions going to Minnesota. It's going to be a great game as well. Minnesota 1.5-point favorites at home. Coming off the bye, I think Detroit has too much momentum. And Minnesota, one of the last unbeaten teams, I think they fall right here. So give me Detroit.
You have gotten a couple games, I think, on me with the Lions this year. And I will take the Vikings in this one.
All right. I don't hate the pick. That's going to be a really good game. The Eagles going to the Giants, Sirianni and Daboll potentially. On the hot seats, both right there. 3-point dogs at home. The Giants are. Give me Philadelphia.
I will take the Eagles as well.
All right. So we got Vegas going to the Rams. Rams are 6.5-point favorites at home, which is insane to think about. I like the Rams here. I think the Raiders are just slowly falling.
I think the Raiders, I mean, they might throw in the towel.
100%. Max Crosby, I think,
on the whole
season. Yeah. Got Carolina going to Washington. 8.5-point favorite Washington is. Give me Washington here.
Yep,
they're going to rebound after
easy
that.
Easy win there, yeah. Yep.
This is an incredible matchup. Kansas City going to San Francisco in a Super Bowl rematch, 1.5-point favorites. The 49ers are at home. I like the Chiefs coming off a bye. I think the 49ers are maybe not the Niners this year.
Well, McCaffrey's still not playing, right?
Still not playing.
So, yeah, that's just a very – I'll take the Chiefs as well. That's just a different – everything is different when you take the best player on the field off.
100%. We'll save Jets and Pittsburgh. Got two Monday night games for some reason. Baltimore going to Tampa Bay. That's going to be a really good game. 3.5-point dogs. Tampa is at home. I like Tampa here. I like Tampa in the spot. I think.
Wow.
I think they can – they've been bottling up the run a little bit more than I was expecting that defense to, and I think that will come and help out this defense right here against Baltimore. So I'm going to go with Tampa. Their offense is very explosive.
I've been picking Tampa left and right, but I'm going Ravens this week.
Yeah, this might be your gimme.
That's a good matchup.
It's going to be a great
matchup. I really like the Bucs.
And then on ESPN Plus, in which nobody's going to be watching probably, Chargers and Cardinals right here. Actually, this isn't a terrible game, but let's hope Jim Harbaugh's heart doesn't give out on the sidelines.
So. Where is that? Is that in Arizona?
Yep, in Arizona. 2.5-point dogs at home. I like Arizona here. They're not as bad as I think their record indicates. So.
I will take Arizona as well. We'll do the Steelers after this.
All right.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5, Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious homemade meals served up from 11:30 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Sports Central with Nathan Fillion and Corey Geiger. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the day today, and as always, we got one pick on the other side right here. And this is, of course, the Sunday night football game, the New York Jets visiting Acrisure and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You want me to go first? I'm assuming
you got to go first.
I don't know why. Mike Tomlin's going to pull out some voodoo magic. The Jets just... they seem to be unraveling while also trying to win. They're fighting for their season right here. 2-5 would be detrimental. But that Steelers defense, thanks
to the 20 seconds left. Make a pick.
Give me the Steelers.
I'm taking the Jets. I think that.
Yeah, I don't hate the pick. I'm doing it.
The Adams edition. This is all in. This is the Jets whole season.
I simply want to differentiate. I want a game swing right here. That's why I'm going to the Steelers. That's honestly why I'm going to the Steelers right here, because I know you're going to the Jets.
You got a 5-game lead.
We'll see.
It's an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM. Roaring Spring, Altoona. A service of Leitner Communications.